for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello, everyone. It is Thursday, November the 7th, the first Thursday in November. We are one half of Keystone State Paranormal Society, and this is Penetrating the Veil with Keystone State. Tonight, we're going to have our teammate Janet Jones calling in to tell us some of the hauntings and tales of the area she's from, which is Carson City, Nevada, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so she'll be calling in 5 or 10 minutes and share some stories of famous and maybe even not so famous haunts in her area. I know you got to spend some time out there, Jim. What did you think of that part of town?
Yeah, they have they've got the old Western style cemeteries that just sort of looks like it's some from the set of a movie. A lot of mining spirits, ghosts around mines. You have the old Virginia City is in that area, and that's where the Ghost Adventures, I think season one, they hit them.
Well, their very first thing wasn't even a season at the time. It was just a YouTube video they put out, and it was in the old Gold Coast Hotel. And they got some pretty fantastic shots, a brick and a piece of lumber flying through the air and whatnot, and
yeah, I've been there. I've also been at the Millionaires Club and a lot of those places. Then, of course, we got that clip in Virginia City, what we call it, the Cashmere's Claw.
Right.
So,
and that was in the basement of a business, right?
Right. That was in the basement of a business on Main Street in Virginia City. And that particular building, the basement structure, was formerly used by the Undertaker of the city. That's where he performed autopsies on the body if necessary.
Okay.
So, you walk in there and just got, the town's great. It's got a great flavor. There's a schoolhouse there that's very haunted. There's an opera house there that's very haunted with its own tales of, so Virginia City's loaded. You go up toward.
Now, before you get too far, where exactly from her area of Virginia City was that Stewart Indian School?
Stewart Indian School was as you were heading. It was just below Carson City, before you got into Carson City. So Virginia City is a little, let's see if I have my bearing. I guess Virginia City is a little northeast of the main road going from, she's down in a town called Gardnerville and Genoa, Nevada. Genoa was the first permanent settlement in Nevada, and it's haunted. They got the hanging tree there. They got an old Mormon encampment that people would stay in before they trekked over the mountains in the late season. So that's all in Genoa. As you're traveling up toward Carson City and then ultimately Reno, I think Reno's about 45 minutes drive from this area, and Carson City's about a half hour.
Now, how far from there was the pass with the
Spanner Pass?
Spanner Pass.
Okay, that's your scoop up. From that area, you go westward.
Okay.
And from where she lives in Gardnerville or Genoa, there's an access trail that went up, drops you into Lake Tahoe. So you would go up that trail and drop into Lake Tahoe, which from that area is maybe 20 minutes if the weather's not a factor. And then from once you're in Tahoe, near the lake, you're about 30 minutes, 30 to 40 minutes up to the Donner Pass area.
Okay.
Heading, well, you're in California now.
Right.
When you drop down out of the passes, you're in California, and as you head up, that's all in California.
Okay.
So you're about a good about 30 minutes ride.
That's not bad at all. I mean, that's a lot of different, major events that would leave energy imprints, you know, within a very small.
And then as you
square
travel,
mileage, really.
Generally, from any of those points, you're within a half hour's drive of Western settlements or some old cavalry camps that are still there. A lot of the buildings are there. That they don't have roofs on them or that, but the framework is still there. And they're maintained as a park. They're probably state-owned park. But you can go up there, and there's the imprints of all that with the India. There were some Indian wars up there, nothing severe like in other parts of the country. But there were a number of battles there, and so they have imprints. The forts are still there. And I remember
the mining towns alone.
Yeah, mining towns. I mean, you can walk during on a lot of that. You got to be careful trying to do any of that at night because of snakes, other animals, and stuff like that.
But I would imagine it's much like Johnstown, where in the middle of the day you can just kind of walk down the street with a recorder and pick
up
all kinds of activity.
Absolutely it. Yep. I remember walking, and I forget the name of it now. The one. A cavalry fort, but you know, broad daylight. Jan and I walk around. We're getting just all kind of EVPs.
Right.
You know, talking about preparing the dinner that night and all kind of stuff. So it's just really loaded with that. It's a fascinating area. Then you have the geothermal springs all through that area.
Right.
So there's a number of springs you can take advantage of. You have to be real careful because the water coming out of the ground
so hot
in most of those areas can be anywhere from 130 to 150 degrees.
Right.
So it'll be fatal as it's just coming up. It needs to be diluted down. But they've got those springs going on. It's really very unique and fascinating area. It's as you go up to Reno, that's semi-desert.
Right.
So it's, you know, it has the appearance of desert, but there is some examples of vegetation here and there. Some of the places have active wildlife.
Right.
So Janet should be calling in here shortly.
Okay. Speaking of EVP, is what's the latest clip you're working on over there?
Well, we got from last Saturday. This Saturday just passed. Sort of an impromptu. Gathering at the lookout house.
Yeah, they call us the day before kind of thing?
Yeah, they flipped us out to see if one of you wanted to, if we're interested in coming up there. And so it was a small group, but we took advantage of the season. You know, that was in that period, Dios de la Muerte, where, you know,
Dia de los Muertos.
Right, where you want to be in, you can get in touch with family members and that. So we were taking advantage of that. We had two of the couples wanted to see.
Mary from last Saturday is viewing.
Oh, so. Well, Mary was one of the gracious ladies there, and she'd asked. I think Mary started it where she'd asked if we might be able to get in touch with her father. And so I'd asked her if they had attempted this previously, and I think she told me they had not. So in so doing, we asked the spirits of the lookout house if they could assist us, and also if they could assist the persons on the other side, both to find them, to bring them to where we were communicating, and also to help them. We still don't know the process spirit has to utilize to be able to communicate to the various venues we use. So I think we're pretty convinced there is a learning process in that. And so we had asked spirit if they could assist from the other side. And it was very personal. It was very solemn. You could sort of sense it, the spirit in the room. And I had the very strong impression that spirit was sort of standing back, allowing the others to come forward with those spirits that were assisting in the process. If you'll notice, we didn't have a lot of loud noises coming through the box. It was generally quiet unless we were getting response. And so it was Mary and John, I believe. That was the other gentleman, I think. So both of them had attempted to get in touch with their fathers. And I think we had some relative success. We had a lot of answers that seemed to key into it. I am working on those tapes as we speak. Now, I will not be posting them unless it's sort of a generic thing, if we get a question and response. But because of the personal nature of it, most of that, I'm saving those, and I'll be getting those out to the two families if they come out, as much as I hope. But it was very nice. And then from there, we retired to the library. And then that was more of a gayish, you know, carrying on. We had the ball going again in the spirit, carrying on with music. And we found it seemed to really enjoy the Thriller music, the Thriller song.
But not so much for the Ghostbusters.
Not for Ghostbusters.
Didn't like that at all.
I think it was sort of took it as a personal fun.
Yeah.
So we did apologize for that, and we'll be sure not to use that going forward. And so it ended on a light note, Spirit doing its usual thing, and we had...
Though we did have...
Deborah came through again and assisted.
Yeah, Deborah came, we had her moving two balls simultaneously away from each other, which was pretty cool, you know? It wasn't like she was pushing one and it hit the other and moved. She had them going away and... like this from each other, you know. I thought that was pretty impressive.
So, yeah, it was a nice bunch of chemistry, and I know we certainly enjoyed it and felt very blessed to be able to take part in that. And I think it was pretty well received by the guests that night as well. And as we told them, and we'll say it again, with, like, the movement of the ball and the production of a lot of the things, I don't begin to offer explanations for what exactly we're seeing or how various things are happening. It's just happening. And that just tends, for me at least, it tends to show the power of spirit. Certainly at the Lookout House, there's a high-end intelligent, a high vibration, and we have a mutual respect for each other. We agree in advance.
Oh,
that
there's Janet. She's been on hold. Look at that. And I didn't even see it. Sorry.
So I'll stop bloviating. And
Janet, hello.
Bring our guest in.
Hello, Dave.
Janet. Sorry about the wait. Jim and I were discussing something. I just looked away from the computer screen and didn't see you come in there. I apologize. How are you?
Oh, no. I just came in, so don't worry.
Okay.
Is it okay if I'm on speaker?
Absolutely.
Is it okay if I'm on speaker? Does it work okay?
As far as I can tell, everybody can hear you fine, yeah.
Okay.
So
I just didn't want it to sound weird or anything. Say what?
How are things out your way?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's like 70 degrees and gorgeous every day. It's beautiful.
Rub it in.
It's a very weird, very weird November. Very weird.
Yeah. Yeah, we had, I think the highest we've had was maybe high 50s, low 60s for like an hour, and it started raining. So
yeah, last week it would be in the 50s or 60s, but then at night it would be down to anywhere from 4 to 8 degrees. This week it's 70s, and it's it goes down to the mid-high 20s at night, so it's very weird.
Do you guys get any of the from the fires that have been going on in California? Does any of that blow out your way?
You know, this group of fires, no, we haven't. If they're like when Yosemite burns, we can't even see across the street. But the fires that are going on in Northern California are closer to us than Yosemite. But no, the wind seems to blow it another direction.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. I thought there was there was some closeness to you guys.
Yeah, yeah. It's only a couple of hours away, but no.
Well, hope you guys will have wasn't last winter was pretty rough out your way, if I remember.
Well, it was a wet winter, but, for it to be this warm into the first 2 weeks of November, it's kind of unusual. So we're kind of concerned that we might have a dry winter. I think it's going to be dry and really cold.
Dave was asking me in advance. I was telling the audience before we hooked up, as far as the proximities of Lake Tahoe and the Donner Party Pass, and really you don't have to go that far and you hit into all those historic areas.
Oh, yes. I've always wanted to go up up to Donner because it's so haunted and it's just amazing, and I just have never gotten a chance because I want to go early. I really want to go early fall when there's not a lot of camping, everybody's gone back to school and that. And it's so hit and miss at that point because, that's the coldest spot up here is up there. Oh, yeah, you'll get pictures, full apparitions of people up there. And then there's also a tunnel that was, I think, a train tunnel at one time, and that's really haunted. And I've been wanting to go up there, but I just always miss the window.
Well, it's been a good while since I've been out there, and we've been wanting to get out there, to what I call it Wally's World, And
that's what we call it.
We'll try this year, and that would be great. I'll bring some stuff, and we could get out there to the Donner area and do some work.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, there are pictures. There's one lady that always seems to appear, and she's dressed all in her winter. She's got a cape and hood and everything, and she gets people get photos of her a lot. But yeah, it's a really weird. It's very weird, understandably, with the story behind it. But
I don't know that I've seen anything online with some local group or that doing an investigation there and posting some stuff.
No, you don't see it very often, but there was one of the best examples that I've seen was on television, and it was with Ozzy Osbourne's son, and he had a show, I can't remember what it was called, and they went up there, and they caught her on film, and it's really quite impressive.
Cool. Yeah, no, that would be great. I'll have to put it down in my to-do book because that would be really neat, and that would fit into a nice segment for my book I'm working on.
Oh, good. It would do a good live show for you guys, too.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to your town, your area, where you're familiar with, what are some of the more unknown but still fantastic haunted tales of that area?
Oh, well, in my town in itself, there's quite a few. there is there's this big, beautiful brick building, which is office buildings now, but it used to be, it was a hospital for a while. And there's a number of historic buildings built in town that were all done in brick. And there were these two brothers, I think it was the Brown brothers. And they made bricks, and all the houses that are brick in the town are from their bricks. And but the house is very haunted. There's a woman who I think is Mrs. Brown in the kitchen. You find her there a lot. And I have had friends over the years who've worked in offices there, and I would say to them, I go, well, the kitchen, you know, this and this happens in the kitchen. And they go, you're right, it does. You know? But that building is very haunted. We had the Pyrenees Hotel, which was a Basque hotel, which has been torn down now. And that was extremely haunted. And when they tore it down, I went over and took a brick from it, and then I also took pictures, and I got a full apparition of a man inside the building. Just, wow. You know, they had started tearing it down. And then across the street from that was a place called the East Fork Hotel, and that was also a Basque, which, I don't know, are you familiar with the Basque?
Basque? I am not.
People?
Now, where is this, Janet?
That's up in the mountains. They live up in the mountains between France and Spain. So some of them speak Spanish and some of them speak French. And they're known for being sheep herders. And so they came over here years ago, and they're still here, and they herd the sheep, and they take care of the sheep and that. And so there's different hotels and things where when they came back from being out in the mountains and that with the sheep that they would stay at. And the East Fork was one of them. And the Pyrenees also was another one. And the East Fork, it was an amazing building, and it had been empty for a while, and the town decided that they had to tear it down, which was absolutely a shame. But when they tore it down, the day they tore it down, I went over there and took photographs. I'll have to pull them up and send you so you can post them. But
the orbs were
phenomenal. Phenomenal, the energy and what was, you know, they tore down where all these spirits were living. And so now it's an empty lot, which is stupid. They should have it was a historic building. They should never have let them tear it down. But, and then there is the Chinese Laundry, and that's a fascinating little building. Since it was a Chinese Laundry, it's never been occupied. So you can peek in the windows and you can see the old calendars and the ironing boards and things like that. That's very haunted. And then there's the
Okay.
It's in Gardnerville, down by Sharky's, the casino Sharky's.
Okay.
The Adavin is a very old hotel, and it was the upstairs was a hotel, and downstairs was a dry goods store. It's been different things over the years. Now the last probably 20 years it's been it was a bed and breakfast on one half, but the other side was a sub shop and bar. And now it's just a bar. And that building is one of my favorites, because there is as you walk in the back door of the bar, and this is one of the locations that when you guys came over, I wanted to, I'm sure I can get us in. But when you walk in the back door, there's a long hallway, and people will often see this cowboy in a duster, and he's leaning up against the wall, and he has a dog, a border collie, and he was him and his friend had gold, and they had dropped it off there because it was a Wells Fargo stage stop. And it was funny, I got all this because my friend who opened the first bar there, I would tell him, you know, everyone would see the cowboy. So I communicated with the cowboy and got the story and that. And I said, he's there, and they had gold waiting for Wells Fargo. Well, in the hallway, there is a an opening that you, a trap door you pull up, and it goes down into the basement, and that's where his gold was. And he's still there guarding his gold. But his partner got mad at him and was going to shoot him, and he ran across the street, and he got as far, he shot him just as he was going into the building. And he died at the stairs, and the stairs used to be right there in the hallway. And but he's still there guarding his gold. And my friend goes, well, I haven't seen, there was nothing in the history in town saying anything about it being a Wells Fargo stock. And I said, well, the gold is in the basement, and they had put us, someone had put a cement flooring on the basement. And I said, it's under the floor. And so he went down there one day, and he was looking around, and there was this little open area, and he leaned way in, and he pulled out a Wells Fargo sign. So that guy is there with his dog, and then there's a little girl that is there, and upstairs in the hotel is a couple with a little baby, and they will come down, they'll come downstairs sometimes. The little girl is kind of hangs out in the office of the bar area. And I brought her one day, I had this little stuffed bear that if you squeezed its tummy, it's a, it was a recording of a child saying the Lord's Prayer. So I left that for her. She played it so much, she broke it in a week.
Wow.
And the guy that was the that's the manager there, he was back in the office one day, and I was there. And but I was out in front, and he went back in the office, and he came flying back into the front, and his eyes were as big as saucers. And I looked at him, I started laughing. I said, "What happened?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I was sitting at my desk, and right to the left of his desk is a bathroom." And he said, "I heard children talking," and I thought, "Well, there must be children out on the deck." So he looked out, and there were no children out there. And he opened the bathroom door, and here was that little girl standing there. And she always, she looked at him, and she said, "I didn't do it. I didn't do it." So I think she was, what I found is that she lived across the street is a big white house that's a boarding house. And I think she lived there. I think her father killed her. I think he beat her. And but she's there, and she loves to take, she loves iPhones. She wants an iPhone. She'll tell us this. And she, you will go in there, and when you leave, all the icons on your phone have been moved around.
That's
and
cool.
She plays the jukebox, and she's really sweet. But it was funny,
pipe,
though. What?
I want to pipe this second. When I first went out, first time I'd ever been out in that area, and I go to the visitor center at Carson City where I met Janet, and I don't know how we got to talking about ghosts. I think you picked up, and I think you even asked me some, like, you know, you have some questions about hauntings or something like that. And I said, well, I do. And so she's, for the audience, she's telling me where to go in these towns in the area, and exactly what you're hearing her describe, like there's a little girl here, there's a cowboy there, that's what she's telling me. And I was just flabbergasted.
Yeah, there's a lot here. I think you have more than we do, but there is a lot here. And but the funny thing is with this one location with the cowboy and the dog, I was sitting visiting with a friend, and he has no abilities. He's never seen a ghost, no nothing. And he turned to me and he said, "Is there a dog in here?" Which is typical. People will bring their dogs in and that. And I looked around. And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, there is a black and white dog that has come up and sat, laid down behind your chair twice now, and he's there right now." And I go, oh, that's the cowboy's dog. And he goes, okay. He says, this is very weird. He says, I've never seen anything like this before.
Well, and see, that's so strange because from everything that I was told, of course, I wasn't able to make that trip with him. But when you got Jim into the Bliss, the first thing you did was call for the owner's dog to make sure it wasn't there that they had taken with you. And you got the EVP of the mail saying that you're calling for the dog before you even said it. And, of course, Jim didn't know there was a dog in the place, so.
Yeah, my friend who owned the Bliss told me, she goes, the dog is going to be there. So when before you walk in, you know, call him because he knows me. And he goes, otherwise. And so I had put my hand on the doorknob and I was getting ready to open the door. And I remembered, oh, I have to let the dog know it's me. And Jim has an EVP of this old lady saying, "The don't forget the dog." So, yeah, that house has over 35 ghosts because it's built on a burial ground.
You know, it just dawned on me as we're talking here. I don't know if we can pull it off or not, but it would be worth the effort. Dave's in school, and he's working his ass off, and he's doing real good. He's doing good on his exams and everything. And he finished now, like next year.
May 31st, my anniversary is our last day.
Okay, so he finishes next day. And so what I'm thinking is maybe as a graduation gift and all that stuff, maybe we can make arrangements that KSPS can fly out to Reno.
That would be nice.
And I've got timeshare stuff out there, so, you know, that takes the expense of having to stay. And that way, you know, I'll get something we can accommodate us all. And if we all carry some stuff in our handbags, we can take most of our essential stuff. So maybe KSPS next year. It would probably be early summer, probably June, early July before. It would have to be July because we have the Gettysburg Bash in June.
End of July is the
bash. Okay. So maybe June-ish next year.
That would be great.
To come out there and, you know, we'll figure like for a week, you know, but between flying and all that gives us a bunch of days and it gives you some time to make connections with the various persons, you know, to get in here and there. Because I'd love them to be able to see Lake Tahoe, the mineral baths, you know, because if we're staying at Wally's World, we'll have the mineral baths
right
there. And, you know, Virginia City and all that. I mean, it's just so, that area is so magnificent for natural resources and beauty. That would be a great trip. And so.
You know what would be fun to do? It would be fun to be at the Washoe Club in Virginia City, which is on television all the time. That place is so haunted. You can reserve it and spend the night upstairs. That would be an amazing show for you guys.
Oh my God.
That would be an amazing show.
I didn't know that was available like that. That's something to work. Wow. That would be cool.
You can spend the night up there.
Maybe by then we'll even have some deal worked out with somebody, so we might, you know, I'm gonna make LLC with the KSPS here this winter. So, you know, at least that way I can defray some of the costs tax-wise. So, yeah,
It's not that expensive to stay there.
No.
Overnight. I think it might be a couple hundred bucks, but it's not that bad.
Right.
That place is one of the most haunted places up there.
I don't know
that
if it's
the,
still has same management. I don't know if it still has the same management as when last time I was there, but the guy was really nice because he let us go where they stored all the hooch, and because that's where they used to keep the bodies.
You can go in there anytime. Yeah.
Yeah, they were very nice and very, you know,
very
accommodating.
They have it set up now where you go, they do tours every hour or whatever, you know, and then you can pay if you want to reserve it for a whole night and you can stay up there by yourself. That is a definite e-ticket. That place is something else. And then there's St. Mary's Hospital up there in Virginia City also that you can stay. And
You had done, I think, a fundraiser. I think it's at that St. Mary's. Had you done some there and all? Is that the place?
Yes.
Okay.
I've done nights, and we, you know, we do have groups come up there, and I'll do it.
That would be great. So you can. That's another place you can reserve like an overnight or something like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, that was.
You can stay there overnight. Yeah, and that place is something else. That is the one night we stayed there. I stayed in a room with my friend, and there was a little small twin bed and a double bed, and her and we had had a group there that night, and we had spent the whole night, and we were getting ready to go to bed, and she shut the door, and she's pacing back and forth in front of the door, and I go, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "Something seemed like it moved. I thought maybe the door wasn't." So we turned out the light, and all of a sudden the doorknob started jiggling, and the door started acting like it was going to open up, and there were like fireworks of lights, because above the doors there's windows. And we were like going, "Oh my God." And we had our tape recorder running at the time, and we got up, and there was there is a nun that's there who kind of ran the place. She's really cranky, and her name is Sister Regina. And the tape recording said, "Go tell," I forget the girl's name, there was the girl that was the caretaker of the place, "Go tell her there are people here, and they think they are so smart." But yeah, she tortured us my friend and I most of the night. And she's chased me out of there. There was one time we had a group, and the one lady that was there, her name was Regina, and she goes, "Oh, I'd love to meet Regina. I've never met anybody with that name before." And I said, "Oh, I don't know if you want to meet her. She's kind of cranky." And because I forget so many times to keep my mouth shut because they hear everything you say. And she ran me out of the building. I didn't know if I was going to get to go back in. She chased me all the way out. It was bad. They have a room upstairs that they call the insane asylum, because they had a gentleman that was mentally ill and has bars on the windows, and they had him in there, and he's in there. And the last group I took in there, there was a really pretty blonde girl. She was really pretty, and he took a liking to her and touched her, and she left the building and wouldn't come back.
Some people just aren't ready for that, you know?
Well, don't expect it.
That too.
Good gosh, April we have Kane, and you're trying to come back east for that.
Yeah,
so
I want to come for Kane.
We could probably finalize our plans, you know, and have stuff set up then by then. So we'd have Kane in April out there to do that area in June. And then Dave and I would have Gettysburg's Bash in July, and then I'll put myself in a hospital.
Well, it's a haunted one.
If
you're going to get admitted, make sure that place is haunted so I can
Jim, when you come, we should do a show out at Stewart Indian School.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we're leaving. Holy crap. You're right.
I even asked you about that, how far away that was.
Yeah, there's the trip. We've got it planned already. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we'll do Indian school.
Yes.
Maybe we can get the kids that are buried in the baseball park. Maybe we can get them on video.
Oh my gosh, Haley.
Well, she would love Stewart.
Boy, hey, I'd love to see the reaction Haley gets at that area. You know how she's so tied into children. Oh my gosh, that would be something. That truly would be something. Oh.
That would be great. If we can get her to save up some money, she could fly out. She could stay with me.
Now, remember, all this hinges on me passing this course.
That's right.
No pressure. It all hinges on me passing the damn course. No pressure, right?
Oh, you'll pass. No problem.
I'm not worried about passing the course. It's the part of this course is when you're done the course and you pass the final exam and you build what's called your capstone project, which is basically you have to do an electronic schematic, a wiring diagram for, and build a functioning machine of some kind. And like the whole last 3 months, I think it is, of the course is just you working on that. So.
Wow. Tough part is going to be if your wife will let you take a couple months before you go back to work so you can come out here and do that.
We'll work that out.
But in addition to doing that stuff, one of the things you have to do, now I don't think this, I think once you pass the course, I don't think this interferes with that at all, but part of the course is taking and passing what's called your Siemens certification. Of course, everybody knows Siemens is a global name in electronics and robotics and engineering and things of that nature. They're a global company. So more often than not, you can get further in the field that I'm going to be going into if you're certified by Siemens than if you were to go and, say, get a 4-year degree in engineering and not be certified by Siemens.
Excellent.
And, part, you know, like when I took my pharmacy certification years and years ago, you had to pay for that. And part of this course, part of the tuition you pay for, covers the cost of that test, which I think is like $750 or something. So.
Oh, perfect.
So, but yeah, you know, assuming everything goes to plan and I do what I'm supposed to do and I pass the course and I have that certification, I think they said, I was looking it up, I think entry level, you're looking at anywhere from $45,000 to $65,000 a year. Then if you were to go back and finish up and get, say, a 2-year degree, it goes from 65 to 85. And then if you had a 4-year degree, all of this, of course, is with the certification, the Siemens certification.
Yeah.
If you had the certification and a 4-year degree, I think it's anywhere from 85 to 125 a year. So now, me personally, I'm happy with just the certification because, you know, I already thought I was a little too old to be going back to school. There's no way I'm going to be able to, you know, do another 6 years. I couldn't do it. Now, this course is different because it's a lot of hands-on. So it's not just read stuff in a book and expect me to know how to do it. I'm building stuff. I'm putting my hands on parts and wires and things like that. So that's more style. So.
Here.
Hey,
that's they're talking the dog.
Okay.
Hey, we're going to play that EVP from when you and I first went to Bliss Mansion. So in there, you're going to hear Spirit talk first, and they're going to mention something about they're calling the dog, you're talking for the dog, and then you'll hear Janet call the dog's name, but you're going to hear Spirit first. So he's going to play this.
All right, let me get the volume up so everybody can hear it. OK. Okay, and this is from the Bliss Mansion. Bliss Mansion, and that's in, is that in Carson City?
That is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's in Carson.
So see, you hear the spirit come in and say they're talking the dog, and
yeah.
Then you hear Jack's voice come in and call the dog. So they knew what she was going to say before she said it. Luckily,
play it one more time.
Huh?
Play it one more time. Play it one more time.
I will. Luckily, this is one of those times where Jim actually remembered to turn his equipment on before he went in someplace.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally he forgets and we miss a lot of stuff. Here we go. So they're talking the dog, and then we hear Janet call for the dog.
They wanted to make sure that I hadn't forgotten the dog.
Yep.
That's something, walking into a place and we ain't even in there 10 seconds and picking up an EVP.
Well, and like I said, that was the first time, at least I personally had ever come in contact with, like, almost a precognition on the part of spirit where
yep.
they knew what you were going to say before you said it. You know?
Yeah, she didn't. They wanted to make sure I didn't forget to call the dog, which I would have forgotten.
But they reminded you, and you
they
know.
They did.
Of course, Jim picked that up on the recorder, but you probably heard that in your head.
Actually, I didn't. But
really?
Well, I didn't hear it. But I think I had forgotten, and I think that. You know, with me, sometimes I don't actually hear a voice, but I get a thought. And it had come to me, oh, don't forget the dog. And that's how I pick up on that.
But like I said, up until Jim had played that for me, I had never heard of that happening, where you picked up an EVP and they were discussing or commenting or broaching a subject that you hadn't even talked about yet.
Yep. Yep. They do it.
Yeah,
there was something
like,
I was going to... What?
You know, we had the very simple equipment back then and just my old Panasonic. And when I got back to where we were staying, I'm going through and then my gosh, all my files were filled up with tracks. I said, oh, my Lord, that was something.
You know what we should do, too? What we
What's
should
that?
Do, too, when you're here is we should go out to Tonopah. It's about 3 hours away. But there's a Mizpah Hotel there, and then behind it is a mine.
That's where they're doing the turquoise show now, too. That's been on
They do gem shows out there, but the Mizpah Hotel in Tonopah is very, very haunted. And the fifth floor is famous. And when last time I went and I stayed there, I got a room in the fifth floor. And out in the hallways are really wide, so they have old Victorian couches and things like that. And I was there on a business trip, and a friend was with me, and we were sitting out there or sitting on the couch. And what happened on the fifth floor was they had prostitutes that used to be in there. And there's a lady, they call her the Lady in Red. And the people that own the place now are the Jacuzzi family from, you know, Hot Tub Jacuzzis. And they have a winery. And they have a winery, and they have named one of their reds, the Lady in Red, and there's this picture of a woman in a red dress. And anyway, she was a prostitute there, and she had met this gentleman, and he really was smitten with her, and he was coming through town, and he said, I will be back, you know, in so many days. And she said, okay. Well, then he left, And I don't remember why, but for some reason he came right back. He had forgotten something or something, and he caught her with another man in her room, and he killed her and the man. And she haunts the hotel, and in the basement they have like old slot machines in the basement, and she will talk through the, she will take the slot machine and she will take numbers and make words out of them. And they're not plugged in. There's no electricity for her to plug them in or anything. And they'll just come on and do that. And the Ghost Adventure guys did that, a show there. And there's an elevator that does not work. And I think it was Aaron was down in the basement, and all of a sudden the elevator opened and the light came on in the elevator, and he walked into it, and I'm watching him and I'm going, don't get in there. And it closed on him and everything, but that was not powered. But anyway, so I was on the fifth floor with my friend and we're sitting on the couches, and I could see down, and I kept telling him, there's a man coming down that hallway by the exit, and he's coming this way. And I kept taking pictures, and I had orbs, you know, I had an orb that would get closer and closer to us. And then just as he got to us, I have a full apparition of him. And it is the man who came and killed the lady in red. It would be awesome if we could go and spend the night there one night. That place is amazing. And the my friend used to do tours at the mine, but she's not working there. But she was there. She would take us to the mines because she had told me that she would take me.
On Stone State Facebook page, a copy of the Mitzvah, one of the pictures you captured of the ghost of a ghost in the Mitzvah Hotel. So. For anybody following the show, if you look, I just posted the picture Janet sent me years ago of that. See, we're organized.
You are organized. Yeah, that was just amazing. And that night, after when I went to bed, I went to bed and turned the lights out and everything, and he came in my room when I was in there. So it's a beautiful hotel. They've done a beautiful job on refurbishing it, and it's one of my favorite places.
Well, you know that show, like I was saying, Turquoise. They have one of the ladies who owns a bunch of the mines in those areas. She has a home near there, and they have clients come in, and you know, oftentimes they'll go out to the mines or to view some of the stones and what they have. They're right there in the Mitzvah. I guess they have a place to eat, a restaurant or something there. And
there is a restaurant,
so
and there are shops in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they'll do business right in there, and then when I first started watching the show, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the hotel Janet was talking about.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. And did you know that Turquoise only comes from Nevada? So like if you go to New Mexico or Arizona and you buy Turquoise, it isn't the Turquoise jewelry and that you buy there. The jewelry might be made there, but the turquoise is only from Nevada. They don't have any turquoise anymore.
Yeah, they were. I didn't know about that till I started watching the show. And then they also have, and it's a form of turquoise, but it's not the blue. It's white and black. It's called Buffalo.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and that's there, too. And that's the only spot in the world they've ever found it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. And those mines, the family's been working those mines 50, 60 years, and just stunning. Just stunning. Wow. Very unique.
Well, and the turquoise mines are not like a gold mine or a silver mine. They're not big, huge mines. They're just little outcropping type places that they find, and they're very small. We have bluebird turquoise here too, and that's very rare.
I know they have buyers come from all over the world, like it's particularly the Japanese are very fond of it, and so they they come into town. And right now that Buffalo White or whatever they call, that was in big demand. That's a fascinating show, and it's all in that area. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, there's also a town off of Highway 50 called Austin, and it is just this little, it's only about two blocks long, and there is this this old building, has no paint on it, it's just old wood and all that, and you go in there, and it is just tables and tables and tables of jewelry, and the guy who owns that store has a turquoise mine out in Austin, and that's, he has the bluebird. he has some of the last of the bluebird, and he has that mine there too. And that's also another really haunted town. Very haunted.
That week will go by so damn fast, but that's
But we should really try to go out to Tonopah and go to the Mitzvah when you come out. That should be a must.
Well, I'd love Dave and Haley to be able to see that part of the country. It's all the, that's an adventure in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we only got about 3 minutes left here, Janet, so we appreciate you calling in. I'm glad you got your phone issues taken care of, and thanks for remoting into Jim's head and giving him this idea, and hopefully we can pull it off. Hopefully I hold up my end of the bargain.
Yeah, you do your end. And I'm sorry I left you in a lurch last week. That was, what a nightmare that was.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
I spent 3 days in the store. The night that I was supposed to call you guys, I was there from noon until 8:30 at night in the store trying to get my phone. And then the next day I was there from 10 to 3:30. And the next day I went and we got it done in an hour and a half. It was horrible.
Well, enjoy the lovely weather while you have it, and stay well, and we will be in contact.
And,
we might even have something coming up here, an investigation in a couple days, so I'll be in touch with you. And,
oh, good.
Yeah, just something popped in tonight, so while we were talking, so... Anyhow, thanks again for coming on, and appreciate everything. And I'd really love if I can make this happen for next year. That would be so great.
It would be awesome.
It would be. That would be great. Then you can get the experience of our group on your own turf. You know, that would be neat.
Yeah, that's right. It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Janet, and
thank you.
Say goodnight to everybody tonight. Wish everyone well, and happy Thanksgiving. We're approaching that in a hurry.
Yeah, we are. And I owe about three people, and I hope they're listening. I owe them phone calls, and I'm going to do it the next couple of days.
Okay.
Take care.
Good night.
All righty, you guys. Have a good night.
We will. Thank you. Okay, everybody. Real quick before we get booted off here, Jim and I received, our team, I should say, received a message during the show from the Lookout House asking us if we would be available this Saturday to lead an investigation at the Lookout House for a corporate team-building event. So I think Jim and I are going to be available. I've reached out to Haley to see if she's available. And so look for us this Saturday at the Lookout House, live streaming from a corporate team building investigation. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. And we will see you in 1 week.
And also, a couple of our viewers, our prayers and that are going out for you. Our best wishes.
Have a good evening, and we will see you Saturday.
Good night.